He's like day old dehydrated piss chilling in the unflushed water.
Oh, it's like teetering on like the green color.
Yeah, yeah, it's got like the day old like froth on top.
Man, this is getting good.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized, hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I am your host, Vinny Gonzalez, and I am joined by my good friend, Don, making this an official Voncast for the Week 6 recap. Don, how are you tonight? You look lovely.
Thanks, man. I put on my my nicest sweatshirt here just for you.
Yeah, you really do look great. That's a nice koozie. I believe that's the best man one. I dig it.
It is.
Don, we had two very different weeks. You traded with someone and destroyed them, and I put up a negative point total for my wide receiver 3 and a 0 for Alfred Morris and lost by 4. So we're looking at very different weeks for week 6. So I felt very bad, and Don felt really good.
Yeah, I actually felt good for the fact that I didn't have to worry about a Monday night showdown either, which is like the first time ever, because I'm always puckering by the end of the third quarter of a Monday night when all I want to do is just relax.
Yeah, I haven't relaxed on – well, really because the games have been so intense. And yeah. I've had everything come down to either Sunday night or Monday night. I feel like it's almost impossible to not have – you know, you need something or you need someone to not do as well as they should.
Yeah.
It's been a very crazy year where we probably don't deserve these awesome football games or performances, but it's been something else.
That's not true. There's been some years where they've just been bad, so I think we deserve it.
What, just NFL in general?
Yeah, there's been some weeks where it's like it's been poopy weeks, and then there's, you know, it's NFL. I'm always gonna enjoy it, but I think we deserve every minute of it. Just the Packers just don't deserve Aaron Rodgers, and I'm pissed.
Yeah, we will certainly get to that probably very quickly. But before we jump into the Week 6 recap, we're gonna hit you guys with some injury news, waiver wire ads, and we're gonna go over the Thursday night showdown, which is sure to be a barn burner. Between the Cardinals and Broncos. So that should be very sweet. Please stick around for the entire podcast. It's going to be worth it. And before we jump into this, guys, I just want to let you know that we are sponsored by Auction Draft. These guys are awesome. Sorry for me coughing up a lung on this. I've never done the read, so this is fun. While the NFL season may have officially kicked off, your hopes for drafting a fantasy team in 2018 is not gone. With Auction Draft, you can draft a team at any time and have a 5-week season with your friends. That way, when you pay too much for Le'Veon Bell, hoping he shows up, which this would be the week, Don, if he does, you'll get another shot in another 5 weeks when the season's up. You can sign up now by going to letstalkfantasyfootball.com/auction draft and use the promo code LTFF. Let them know that you came from us, and you save 50% on your league, which is fucking awesome. Go check out Auction Draft. Those guys rule, and it's a ton of fun.
Heck yeah.
So, Don, before we get into week 6, just a reminder for you guys, the bye week's coming up for week 7, which will be addressed by Don, you, and Shrek on the preview, which will be coming out, I believe, Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
We're
casting tomorrow unless something happens.
Yeah, I think you guys should be fine. Doing the double week again, Don.
Double dose of the DON, I'm sorry.
It's always my favorite, but I don't think you like it.
I always enjoy it. Just give me a cold beer and I'm good. But I don't need notes, though. But apparently never need notes. But
It's all from the gut, man. You don't need it. You know?
No such thing as statistics in fantasy, you know?
Numbers mean nothing.
Stat lines are bullshit.
But if you do start any Packers, Raiders, or Seahawks, or Steelers, that would be a stat you should look up, because they're in buys for week 7. So pay attention to that shit. That is just something to note. Very simple stuff here. Don, there were a couple injuries. The biggest one probably being Devonta Freeman, which I totally forgot. They put him on IR today, which is Tuesday, October 16th. That is when we were podcasting. So
what I thought about too, as this popped up and I was at training today, was the Devonta Freeman IR. And I really hope, because one of our reader questions like a week or two ago was, should I trade Devonta Freeman for Aaron Rodgers? And dear God, I hope you did it and got it.
Yeah, that would have been a very. Did we say yes to that? Because that seems like
Me and Shrek were like, hell yeah.
I might have said no, just like holding out hope that he would, you know, come back. But obviously, a dark turn here where they put him on IR for a groin and foot injury. They do have hope that he might come back, but man, that's going to be at least 6 to 8 weeks. So he's pretty much on the shelf. And really, it's going to be Tevin Coleman and now Ito Smith, who I think has to be a very high waiver ad if he's not already taken.
For sure.
Yeah. But going forward, it looks like a 60-40 split it's been. Coleman hasn't been great. Ito Smith is finding the end zone. So there's, you know, their offense is potent, so they should be able to put up some numbers. Mm-hmm. In severely lesser news, Josh Allen will be dealing with an elbow injury, probably going to keep him out 2 to 3 weeks after getting a second opinion. That means we actually won't see Nathan Peterman again because it's going to be Derek Anderson because they cannot throw that dude back out there. If a defense is facing the Bills, you play them. You play them hard.
Play them real hard. That team is sorry.
Yes, dude. They're getting away with some stuff and like winning cheap games, and they almost did actually this week against the Texans, but they're not good.
Certainly.
Bigger news for fantasy-wise people. Cooper Kupp suffered a sprained MCL. We'll miss some time. We don't officially know. I figure it's going to be more than 2 weeks. So that really sucks. But it does open up some opportunity for Reynolds, which is definitely another high waiver ad for us. But that, you know, the offense is going to keep kicking, I think. But losing Kupp is huge because he's a top 10 wide receiver.
Yeah, it is huge. I guess the only way you can look at it is thankfully it's not worse because that looked pretty rough when that happened.
Yeah, he had two rough weeks, man. Gets that rough ass concussion and then, you know, carted off, but was able to come back, which was just weird shit. So he's definitely a tough dude, but we'll miss some time. So we'll see if we can work through some wide receiver waiver ads later for you guys.
Definitely.
To try and replace him, but it's going to be tough. More wide receiver news. We got the Falcons wide receivers all banged up. Calvin Ridley, ankle. Mohamed Sanu, hip injury. So these two were actually already in question for the Monday night game. So you're going to want to make sure you have some backup. Probably going to want to monitor these two closely because you don't want to risk the Monday night nightmare of like having to fucking scramble. So we'll also talk some guys for you there. Quincy Enunwa also, this is a bad week for wide receivers. He actually fumbled and gave you negative points if you were me. So it's tough. He's out with an ankle injury for 4 to 6 weeks. So it's probably a safe drop. Opens up some space for guys like Curse and potentially Pryor, but we can discuss that a little later.
Yeah, definitely.
And then lastly, Amari Cooper left the game with a concussion. He hasn't been having a great season. So this is just really, really terrible.
Well, and just before the game, like I think late Saturday or early Sunday, they were saying how they are actually taking inquiries on trading him. Now they're asking for something. They're asking for a first round pick. I don't know who's going to do that at this point, but Raiders are looking on moving him too.
Yeah, I think they might want to set the bar high like they did with first rounder. Maybe they'll get like a second or third and then like maybe like a sixth or something like that, like conditional. Yeah. It would be interesting to see where he would go. One, if he goes anywhere, Raiders are pretty nuts just cleaning house, but, it's too far to turn back now with all these guys on the table and, you know, started with Mac, it's probably going to end with a couple of these guys leaving too.
Yeah.
Just trade value's got to be down for just like real life. Like he just took a concussion. They were on bye, but, the trade deadline is approaching.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows? So obviously, Amari Cooper owners, I don't know. It is what it is at this point.
It's a fucking tough one. So he's probably a hold for now. I don't think his trade value in fantasy is, you know, anywhere near where it should be.
Any value in that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it for the injuries. Pretty terrible shit, but we're going to try and work through.
Not the best.
I guess since, we went through so many wide receivers, Don, let's hit those first for the waiver ads. So there were some interesting names, some flashy names that had flashy games that probably won't happen again. So we can run through those. Don, I know our bet is
Yeah.
Williams is brothers. And Tyrell takes the lead with that monster ass game, yeah, two touchdowns.
It is what it is, man. Overall, Mike Williams gets more looks. I'm not worried about winning that bet. And I'm also not looking on adding Tyrell Williams just yet. It looks like, I don't know. It's kind of frustrating if you are a, you're holding any type of pass catchers from San Diego. Cause I'm a Phillip Rivers owner and he's done relatively well, other than like last week was like his lowest and I still got 15 with him. But he seems to be distributing the ball quite a bit to everyone. Like Keenan Allen's not even still going off. I know they tried working him a little bit more, but it still wasn't what you want out of Keenan Allen. Mike Williams is a very big hit or miss, but he's also doesn't get that many targets. Last week it was Tyrell Williams' week. If Travis Benjamin's healthy, sometimes it's his week. He just seems to be spreading the ball, and then a lot of it goes to Melvin Gordon. So they run their offense off of Melvin Gordon. So as a pass catcher, that's why I really don't think, unless you're in a really deep league and you have a lot of injuries and buys going on, that you need to be going and adding Tyrell Williams at this point, though.
Yeah, I would say 12-teamer and up, keep an eye. Like a guy catches two touchdowns, you know, he's on the radar no matter what. So he's a speculative ad. And like a desperation play, if you're like really fucked, like.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, all the touchdowns in the Charger offense are definitely going Melvin Gordon's way as of now. It could regress, you know, as the season progresses. And, you know, Keenan Allen's going to have his games, obviously. They are coming, so get ready for that.
Yeah, they are coming. I mean, they even tried working like, a reverse. I think he had a reverse or whatnot. They tried running him a little bit. So they want to work more Keenan into their offense.
Yeah, definitely. But Don, who else would you advise, like, if you were one of the guys that had one of the injuries suffered from before, or if you just want to add anybody that could potentially not only help you, like, this week, but, like, keep, like, for weeks to come?
Yeah, I mean, at first I was, like, really not thrilled with the whole Jermaine Curse thing. But Jermaine Curse has got 10 targets last week. He had been battling last year as, like, one of the main targets as well, other than, you know, a very flashy Robbie Anderson. With Quincy Enunwa going down, I don't think that really opens up Robbie Anderson more than what he still is as a just a deep ball, deep threat, high risk, high reward guy. So I think Jermaine Curse actually would fall into the Quincy Enunwa highest target share guy. I think Terrell Pryor can get some more targets and that bumps his value, but I think Jermaine Curse actually is a safer ad on the waiver wire at this point, especially with Enunwa being gone for a few weeks.
Yeah, you said that perfectly. Comes in, pretty much gets the same target share that we've seen Enunwa's ceiling can be like 30-35% of the target share of Sam Darnold, which has proven to put up like some decent games, nothing spectacular. Touchdowns probably won't be like the, the money winner for Jermaine Curse or really Enunwa in the past, but yeah, it's a good ad. I view Pryor more as like possibly a Tyrell Williams ad as well, just like random fluky touchdowns, less target share. So if you want a safer guy, like you said, take Curse.
Yeah.
A guy who's definitely not safe and definitely the flashiest name, but has been creeping up into like the top, almost top 20 here for wide receivers on the years, Albert Wilson.
Yeah, I have him in my weak shit because I just hate Miami.
they do some dumb shit, but it is 100% working for them. And it's,
I mean, I think he got his highest amount of targets this week with like six.
Yeah, he did. But I don't know. We've seen what he can do with them. It's he's working his way into like considerable flex, sort of like it's dangerous still. But
listen, if you need to make a play, I mean, if you're willing to do the risk, I mean, the upside is certainly there. Where he could be like a weak winner for you, but also it could be where you get zilch from him. So he's not like my top ad, but like if you picked him up and played him, I'd be like, that's completely fair too. Cause look at what he can do.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't have big enough balls to do that. I don't
know. Yeah. I was just going to move right on to like other guys who are probably safer. Cause I don't know. Like we said, ceiling,
like
there,
he probably has the highest ceiling out of all these guys you would add
for sure.
Would be like a weak winner for you.
Yeah.
But in the same sense, for instance, like the next guy, Willie Snead, has had 10 targets last week. And before that was seven targets each week before that. Now his production isn't still that great, but he's got a pretty decent floor. So if you want someone that's just going to plug in for a buy and you just need someone to get you through the week, like Willie Sneed is definitely going to be your safer bet of, you know, you could get anywhere between 7.5 to maybe 11 points on in a half point PPR league with Willie Sneed.
Yeah, for sure. I like what he did in that game. I actually liked what Joe Flacco did in that game, which was spread the ball around more than we've seen. Didn't really take too many deep shots. And then we saw Crabtree finally, you know, do Crabtree things, which was, I guess, concerning for John Brown owners. But
With Willie Sneed, too, getting more targets, it's kind of hurting John Brown.
Yeah, he might become deep threat only if this continues. But, you know, we've seen John Brown able to do more than just go deep. So I'm not too concerned right now, but maybe if it keeps up for like the next week or two, perhaps.
Right.
Yeah. Willie Sneed and nice. It's kind of pretty much on the same level of Curse. Curse might see more opportunity though.
Right.
Some other dudes that are definitely injury dependent. If the starters are out with Chester Rogers is definitely an ad. As long as TY is not, you know, getting close to a comeback, because that dude just gets targets out the ass from Andrew Luck. He got 10 again this week, found the end zone. He did very well. And like me and Walsh were screaming about all the Colts throw it 60 times a game. So if this guy's going to get 10 plus looks.
He's had 32 targets in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, man. It's absolutely insane. So if TY is out still, go out there and get Rodgers. He's like an immediate flex wide receiver 3 play.
Yeah, that's not bad.
No, in fact, that's good, Don. That's good.
Yeah, he might be bumping up on this list here.
Bump him up. Yeah, he's safe and has a pretty decent ceiling.
And he has probably the best quarterback in here.
I would say the next guy, Josh Reynolds, does, because he's going to be coming in for Cup and to that very dynamic offense. Yeah, even Goff right, has slowed down.
Chester Rogers is going to be one of the more immediate targets over Josh Reynolds. Is going to be like the fourth option with the Rams.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, the Rams, we've seen Reynolds come into games like in relief and do pretty well. So I'm interested to see what he's going to do with like a start, because they do run a lot of wide receiver 3 sets, especially early on in the game before they start working Gurley a lot.
Yeah.
So he's definitely an interesting ad. I don't know. It's definitely going to be a play for the week. You know, Kupp is going to miss like immediately. So I am interested to see what he's doing with his first start.
Yeah, I don't know. If you're looking more long term for now, I would still take Chester Rogers over Josh Reynolds.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. Just because we don't know how long Cooper Kupp is out, and we feel like TY is probably going to be out a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
Hopping over to the grossest position of all time, tight end. I only have one guy, Don. I don't know if you have any other guys. I just have CJ Uzama, because that's really the only guy out there getting a He's on the field 95% of the time. Had a decent game against the Steelers, and we'll have more decent games to come. Tyler Kroft is still going to be out with that broken foot, so Bengals only have one tight end.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. I mean, this is when it starts getting a little ugly, where you're just going to start having to play matchups. I mean, you see every other Ricky Seals-Jones have decent games and then no games. It's at that point, it's really just a matchup base at that point. I don't think CJ Uzama needs to be like added for week to week, because he's still not getting that much of a production done. But it does help that Eifert is down.
Yeah, that is for sure. But you know, tight end's gross, and if he's out there, there are worse things you can do, as I say on every single podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's do some defense and quarterback streams, Don. Help out the people.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of good quarterbacks out. Aaron Rodgers is out. Russell Wilson is out. Big Ben is out. I don't know. Obviously, this should probably be the play of the week for most people, but I think he's owned in more leagues than he should. Baker Mayfield is going against the Bucks, and that is just matchup delicious.
I would say the ones on our list that we have here, which we'll go over, I think Baker is actually the sexiest pick of them all for that. Probably going to want a bounce back week after losing last week to like their actual first real loss where they just actually got beat. So going against a shitty defense where they just fired their defensive coordinator, Baker's a pretty energetic guy. I bet they bring a lot of intensity of that offense next week against a really shitty defense.
Yeah, and you know what? Baker left, well, not even Baker, but the Browns offense just in general had a lot of drops, and they left, I think, probably like two would-be touchdowns and a whole lot of yards still on the table against the Chargers. Yeah. So they really hurt themselves, and like you said, got their ass beat really for the first time this year, and that just looked terrible mm-hmm. to the Chargers at home. So, you know, he gets to beat up on the Bucks now. It's probably going to be pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
My next guy, I love Mitch Trubisky, dude. Going against the Patriots is a little tough, and I don't really love how Mitch looks sometimes, like with his decision-making, but it's a good matchup, and they're going to have to throw, you know, to keep up with the Patriots. So I think he's definitely working his way into streamer territory.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Mitch has done a really nice job the last 2 weeks. Now, it's been against Tampa Bay, so take that with a grain of salt. And then Miami, who's also been playing very well. But I don't know if I'm playing Mitch Trubisky against the Patriots. I know that Patriots defense is not that great. But, man, they do rattle these younger quarterbacks. And they're going to play, like, a lot of stunts, what they did with Mahomes, where they kind of, like, will pretend the blitz to get them to rush it real quick, and they drop back. I think they're going to do a lot of that. And Mitch Trubisky isn't the he still isn't the most poised quarterback in that sense where he makes the brightest decisions. So I don't know if I'm playing Mitch Trubisky against Patriots. On paper, it looks not too bad, but I'm not doing that.
Yeah. I mean, I like what he's been able to do. Just that offense is very good. We've seen Tariq Cohen get way more involved, and he's definitely more dynamic than Jordan Howard has been. And he's, you know, he can catch some passes out there, and he could score at any time. So
yeah.
It just seems like the offense can be unstoppable at times, and that's kind of where Mitch can get the ceiling. But, yeah, like you said, not the best decision maker of all time.
I'm not feeling it. I think they're going to rattle him a little bit. So
it is in Chicago, too, so that might help. But, yeah, you're right. They scheme. They scheme very well.
They're schemers.
They are fucking schemers.
Belichick is a schemer.
One guy's more of an ad for me than a play this week, Jameis. We've seen him just be a very viable starting quarterback, like almost regardless of matchup, usually tends to get his, you know, around 15, 16 points per game. So it's, you know, we've seen him. I don't know. He's doing all right. Beat up on the Falcons, obviously, was number one quarterback on the week. But I think he's a stash. Just, I mean, you can probably get away with the play this week if you're hurting a quarterback and there aren't a lot around. But I think he's probably a hold for the weeks to come if you have buys yet to come.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm buying that either yet.
You're very standoffish about these guys.
I don't think he should be a stash. He also threw two picks against Atlanta's defense, and they're garbage too. Jameis Winston is another guy that just forces the ball a lot. I mean, in the past few years, he really hasn't finished that well as a fantasy quarterback, and the quarterbacks are rich this year. So I don't think he's someone that you're going to really need to add for a stash. Maybe if you have to play him for a week and you want to stream him, but I'm not really down with the Jameis Winston train. I like the Baker Mayfield thing. And I think Mitch Trubisky is going to be a viable option, but I think that's against Patriots. And then Jameis Winston, it was against Atlanta and he still threw two picks. He still did a lot of Jameis things. He forces the ball a lot sometimes. Like, it's just knucklehead things that he still just can't get over. And you hear them talk about it. But I don't know. He's not someone I'm going to keep on my bench. If I had to play him, I have to play him. Look, Brock Osweiler had a good game last week against Chicago, too. I'm not adding his ass.
Oh, he was my next ad.
Yeah, I'm sure. Stash him.
Yeah, now, fair points, Don. I'm looking at, like, he could probably have a passable game this week against the Browns, and then next week against the Bengals, who have been also sort of torched.
Yeah, but the Browns' defense has still been pretty tough, and, like, Phillip Rivers still didn't have, like, a dominant game against them. They just ran all over him.
Yeah, true. I mean, I don't – I just feel like he could get, like, just like I said, passable. But,
yeah, I mean, he's going to – he had 41 attempts last week, and I know that's against Atlanta, but, like, they do have a shitty, like – running backs. They don't like Peyton Barber, like Ronald Jones doesn't get anything going. So they do have to pass the ball. But I don't know, man. He's just a knucklehead too when it comes to stuff. So he makes a lot of bad decisions. He's gonna throw a bunch of picks. He forces a lot of shit. That team itself is just kind of in a very quick decline on things. So I don't know. I'm not about it.
That's all right.
Not long term.
Get off the sinking ship, Don. You're wiser than me.
There you go. I'd rather just like stream a really mediocre Stafford at some point than Jameis Winston.
And he has been mediocre, dude.
Yeah, he's been very mediocre.
Yeah. Been playing decent, like regular, but not fantasy.
Lukewarm, piss, bad, not great, but still would take him over Jameis Winston.
It's like, what's next after lukewarm piss?
That, Matt Stafford.
Speaking of lukewarm piss, let's do some defense streamers, Don. These are like pretty desperate. I don't know. I think the best.
No, the Colts versus. Yeah. I've actually played the Colts a few weeks and they've actually been pretty decent, man. I would stream the Colts Bills all day.
Yeah, that's definitely the best one of the week. Probably going to be first priority for a couple people that have been streaming. So, you know, Bills, obviously the change of quarterback affects us a lot because Josh Allen's been the best thing they have. And that's not saying much, really. But
no,
now that frees up, like, yeah, Colts will probably destroy. The other two streamers are playing each other on Thursday night. I think you can play the Cardinals or the Broncos defense. I think there's plenty of points to go around for either of them. Defensive-wise, not offense.
I'd probably play the Broncos because I just think there's not much for that Cardinals offense at all.
Yeah, but Case Keenum has been terrible.
So. Case Keenum's not good.
No. And the Cardinals have been annoying.
He's cooler than lukewarm piss.
Yeah, he's...
he's like day-old dehydrated piss chilling in the unflushed water.
Oh, it's like teetering on like the green color.
Yeah, yeah, it's got like the day old like froth on top.
Man, this is getting good. Jesus Christ. All right.
Sheesh.
Speaking of green froth, I guess you could play this team versus the green froth colored Miami Dolphins. The Lions welcome Brock Osweiler, who, dude, I don't give a fuck what I saw on Sunday. I'm streaming the Lions defense. I don't give a shit. If he is, in fact, starting, we still are not sure about that. But if Brock Osweiler is starting, play the Lions defense. I don't care.
Yeah, just like Walsh says, Brick Osweiler, man. I don't want any of that. I want everything that goes against that. He's garbage. I play the Lions defense, too.
Yeah, not buying that shit. He had a great game. I don't believe it. It was just ridiculous.
Even though it was Kenny Drake that was crying under his towel, that should have been Brock Osweiler because just for the fact that he sucks.
Dude, poor Kenyon Drake, dude. That was rough.
Yeah, I felt bad for him, but it is what it is, man.
Yeah, that is true.
Still don't know what to do with that guy.
Oh, yeah. We should probably talk about that next, actually. I guess we'll hop into cool shit and weak shit after we take a quick break. We're going to hear from Auction Draft, and we will be back.
Auction Draft is the ultimate fantasy football auction draft experience. With full season and 5-week seasons available, you get the best of both worlds. It's time to play fantasy football the way it was meant to be played. Visit auctiondraft.net to learn more and save 50% off the 2018 season price with promo code LTFF. We'll see you on the field.
And welcome back, guys. That was Auction Draft. Be sure to check them out with the promo code LTFF. Those dudes are awesome. We love them here. Auction Draft is great. So, Don, we were kind of ranting. We probably should have saved it for the podcast because it was great. But
you such good content, you know?
Such good content that is unheard besides us. You were pretty into it with the Packers. We were just talking about how great all the games have been. So this definitely falls under cool shit. But you're seeing more of a bad side of like
Rodgers
being crazy good and just
Rodgers
shouldn't have to do this stuff every week.
Rodgers has been stabbed by Joaquin Phoenix every week and then goes to the crowd after he wins saying, are you not entertained? Like, he's the quarterback that, as a Green Bay Packer fan, I do not deserve at this point, even though it's not my fault that the Packers organization can't figure out their ass from their head and that they need to get this guy some fucking help so that we can win this guy another Super Bowl. Listen, it's good for football in a sense where like you're seeing like great shit happen on primetime football. Don't get me wrong. But man, as a Packer fan, it's super disappointing to see that how pitiful that defense is. Like, pitiful. And this guy's got to go on no shoulder left in that guy and still can sling it no matter what it is. He's got to, who knows what, with his knee, and this guy still has to run like 25 yards up the gut so they can get him a first down for the hopes of a win. Like, they just, he's throwing the rookie receivers and making them do shit they probably never even knew they can do. It's just, it's unbelievable, man.
Yeah, I mean, from just like an NFL fan watching, like, or not being a Packers fan, watching Aaron Rodgers is like a fucking treat. And I definitely don't deserve watching that shit. But yeah, from the outside, it's just like a lot of fun. But then when you look at like why he has to do that stuff, and
yeah,
the way it looks so easy, and you're just like, dude, if this was my team, I would be shitting bricks. But as a Packers fan, you have fucking 29 seconds left on your own 10, and you're like, yeah, we'll probably win the game.
Well, that's the thing. So like you said, like, we don't deserve it. And that's certainly true. Like, we already think that we already know we're going to win. Like, we don't deserve that for the fact that we still like haven't gotten this guy a Super Bowl. There's just a few things that just, it's just ridiculous. Like, I'm sitting there watching the game thinking, like, I'm thinking as if I'm Kyle Shanahan. I'm like, well, we should just go for this fourth down, because if we punt the ball and the Packers get it on the 20-yard line, like, with less than a minute left, we're going to lose.
Yeah, you're done. Which they didn't do. They just fucking punted it. I'm like,
it's crazy. Like, it's like, I'm literally thinking about the other team as I'm the Packers fan watching this. Because, like,
because you know.
You just know. That's absurd, man. It really is. I mean, that guy, I say it on every podcast, he's the greatest to ever fucking touch the football field. And the things he does is unbelievable. But man, it is just disappointing to see. Like, if I was Aaron Rodgers, I'd be like, fuck you, Green Bay. I'm going to a bigger market, warmer team. And I'm going to like get the support that I need for a team that's going to pay for me and for the supporting cast around me.
I don't know. It looks like he loves it, though, dude.
Yeah, I mean, the Packer fans are one. I won't say the best, but to me, they are. It's the greatest, dude. They love everything about Green Bay, and how can you not? But man,
yeah, pretty spoiled. You know, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. You know,
yeah. But if you think before that, man, they sucked for a long time. And if you removed Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre, we suck.
Well, yeah, of course you can do that with anybody, but
yeah,
fair points.
Yeah. You can, but like, you got to also make moves. I mean, this guy is the greatest.
Yeah. I mean, I believe the Tom Brady argument still exists, but I yeah, sure, in some capacity, Don.
Listen, man, put Aaron Rodgers in a Patriots with Bill Belichick, and he's going to do some, he's not losing a Super Bowl. That's just me.
Now that you brought that up, we can talk about the Patriots Chiefs shootout, which was fucking awesome as hell. But again, to like your point, Tom Brady's doing the same shit.
It's crazy.
He has to do the exact same. Like, his defense is not help. Not like there's really any great defense out there right now in the NFL with like the way the game has changed, but he's doing the same exact stuff. And it's been, you know, nothing but positive fantasy points and just like crazy ass games, crazy ass endings, to the point where Tom Brady was like, cool, Tyreek got another touchdown. Let's go actually win the game. I don't give a shit what he did.
Yeah, no, it's true. I wish I was so tired I didn't watch that game, but I kept.
Dude.
What? So yeah, right. Hold on. So I was laying there and like I kept trying to watch it and I kept falling asleep. And then I'd wake up like every 5 minutes and
like just
see that the score like went up tremendously every 5 minutes that I would wake up. I'm like, what is going on? And then I woke up way later. I woke up to like where I saw the final and they were all handshaking. And then I looked at the text, which was like, this is the greatest game, blah, blah, blah.
It really was.
All I thought about was like, I didn't watch it, but every 5 minutes that I woke up, I just saw the scores run up like a tremendous amount. So I really do. I got to watch that.
Yeah. But we basically just glossed over a ton of fantasy goodness there for cool shit. We got Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, Tom Brady, Tyreek Hill. Julian Edelman got in there with a touchdown too.
Yeah. Pat Mahomes, man, you should feel really confident. The fact
I believe I didn't say his name.
He came out and played that way against New England. He's awesome. Besides his Kermit the Frog voice, everything else about him is really cool. He's awesome.
I like that. I like that his voice is weird.
Nope.
Have you heard Andrew Luck talk, though?
Dude, he's a goober, bro. It's not like I support his voice or his like style at all. Like that guy, like literally like who knows if he even wears one designer brand at all. This guy is just like, just give me like a t-shirt. Let me not shower for a week. I don't even know if that guy wears deodorant, but he's a goober himself. But I mean, listen, there are cool. Pat Mahomes is awesome, man. If you drafted him and you had the balls to do that, good for you, because that really panned out. Travis Kelce gets a lot of looks. Good for you. Tyreek Hill is ridiculous. Kareem Hunt, it's unbelievable. So both sides, I'll tell you what, the whole, when we talked about it, if you're a Sonny Michel owner and you held on to him, I did not in a league, and I really wish I did. That's panning out very nicely too.
Yeah. I remember the podcast before when like Burkhead went down, I'm like, go out and get James White, who has been great too.
Yep. Yeah.
Sonny Michel has been absolutely amazing for them. Receiving very high praise from Bill Belichick standards, where he's like, yeah, he's got a lot of improvement to do, but he's doing all right.
Yeah.
So that's very
well, coming from a guy where they're like, we're really upset with his, you know, training camp, and now he's injured. He's not picking up with his knee. He had like a whole little procedure with his knee. Then they said, you know, he wasn't picking up everything. And we're like, oh shit. Okay. So for him to play the way he is too, that's got to feel good at being an owner. And if you held on to him.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Josh Gordon could be getting more looks. So if you're Josh Gordon owner, just go to the light, man. It's just gonna happen.
Oh yeah, dude. I love the moth metaphor, by the way. That was great. Yeah,
it's so true.
It really is. But he's looked good. He was on the field for I think 80 plus snaps.
They said he's gonna get more work again as the weeks come too.
Oh fuck yeah, he definitely should. But had a few miscues in the Chiefs game. But it's fine. It'll be fine. He's too freakishly talented. Almost had an amazing catch, touchdown catch. But yeah, Josh Gordon's going to work out just fine for everybody, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some bad things, dude.
There's still some plenty good things, and there's a lot of plenty bad things. I will say real quick, going back to the Green Bay, I just want to let you know, Davante Adams, if you have Davante Adams, he has 6 touchdowns, so he's pretty much getting a touchdown every game. And he's tied for a 6th of receiving with over 557 yards receiving. So that's some really cool shit too. No matter what happens to Packers, Davante Adams is going to get the fucking ball from Aaron Rodgers.
Actually, Don, let's stay on that and we'll do weak shit. I wanted to ask you about the running backs, because the snap share is absolutely just awful.
It's stupid.
It's so bad. It's Aaron Jones getting the least, which is everybody's favorite in the fantasy community, and got to be Packers' favorite too. He just looks better. Had a few dumb plays in the 49er game, dropped a pass, did some wrong stuff, but still.
Whatever. He dropped a pass.
Clearly the most talented back, but still, you know, ceding snaps to Jamal Williams, who has done nothing. And Ty Montgomery, who I think should be used more as a pass catcher, which he is. But I think it should be
why he's in there.
Yeah. It should be Matt Williams and just Aaron Jones and Ty Montgomery, and everything would be fine.
I was actually pretty happy. I got a notification today that popped up Matt Jones, and I was like, yeah, goddamn right, free Aaron Jones, McCarthy. Aaron Jones, dude, he's so good at running. It's the whole, oh my God, he's not a great pass blocker, so let's get Jamal Williams there. And then we're going to put Ty Montgomery in there because he's a pass threat. Dude, just fucking run, Aaron Jones, man. Open it up for Rodgers a little bit. I mean, the guy is just so efficient. I don't know. I don't get it. And it's always he starts off the game, and then like he's almost not relevant at all the second half.
Yeah, it's almost like they're pretending he's game scripted out when he's clearly not. Like the Packers are in it like in a 1-score, maybe 2-score game, like down 10. And they just stop running, which, you know, a lot of teams don't do. They stay and hang with it. But the Packers just seem, you know, very they're just lucky they have Rodgers.
We don't deserve him. So
really don't.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's really hard. Like I know I'm still gonna win the $100 from Walsh. I don't know if it's gonna be as sexy as a competition with how they're doing right now. Aaron Jones is barely relevant, and Jamal Williams is not relevant in the fantasy production wise. So, but yeah, man, there could be so much more relevancy from Aaron Jones if McCarthy would just let it happen.
I might come as a third party bet and just fucking go Montgomery.
At this point, you might as well.
Really?
You
know? I'll get a horse in the race.
I mean, he does get some pass catching work, so it could come to your favor.
Very true. Don, I wanted to ask you if you can go back, how would you rank? This is pretty much, you're very unprepared for the answer, but how would you rank the top five running backs off the board if you can go back and redraft?
If I could rank the top five, man, I mean, it's got to go Gurley one, right?
That's what I was thinking still. Dude, he's on pace to like outperform last year.
Dude, yeah. I'm trying to see who are the top five. It's Gurley, Melvin Gordon, Saquon, James Conner, Zeke. I mean, not James Conner. Alvin Kamara.
Yeah. Kamara's still floating around there, but yeah, Conner and Zeke is also around there too.
Yeah, they're like floating in there. Man, Todd Gurley's got to go number one. I think I would go Saquon two.
Interesting.
I would go Melvin Gordon three because he gets a lot of touchdowns, man. Like he and they're running that offense out of him.
Yeah.
I think I'll go Al Kamara four because obviously we have Ingram back now. And then I would put James Conner five, man. I mean, he deserves it. But Zeke's gonna come through too. I don't know. Zeke's gonna be popping. What Dallas did last week was ridiculous against Jacksonville. So Zeke's gonna start really opening it up. But I would, as of now, I would go Gurley, then Saquon, Melgo three, Al Kamara four, James Conner five.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I just wanted to see your take on that, just because like. My God, how it's like kind of panned out. Like David Johnson's nowhere to be seen in that top five.
No, dude, it's like next to Kareem Hunt, then it's James White and TJ Yeldon.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Like running back it's mainly been kind of a backup year too. Like you got the main
guys.
Like
that's half point PPR I'm looking at. I'm so sorry. If you're in standard league, that's going to be a little bit different. But man.
It's interesting, dude. Very interesting.
Isaiah Crowell is in your top 10 right now because the
fuck him.
That's stupid. I don't know. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, I don't know.
He'll work his way out. It's fine.
DJ's good, just Arizona is not.
Yeah, and the way, you know, Walsh has been ranting about it every single podcast, but he's totally right every time. It's just they scheme him wrong and they're not using him correctly. And I don't know if like they should be able to. It's dude, he was their offense 2 years ago, and now it's just nothing, barely anything.
Yeah, I don't get it. I feel bad for. I listen. He's gonna finish in the top 10, so it's not the worst thing in the world. But you drafted him in the probably average three or four spot, right? Some could have went earlier, some a little bit later. But man, you were expecting way more from him.
Yeah, for sure. Don, let me just ask you one more question, and then we can move on to, I guess, the Thursday night recap, Thursday night preview. So we still like clock this out at an hour before going off the Voncast.
No, fuck that. Let's make it 2 hours. I got more beer to drink.
I just wanted to talk about the Jaguars Cowboys game because a lot of shit went down that was very concerning. I think on both ends, Cowboys. That was dumb. Not concerning in a good way. With you know Zeke going off, the Cowboys finally looked good. They destroyed a defense that I thought was good in the Jaguars. But then on the Jaguars side, is Leonard Fournette coming back, you know, like around week 9 or 10 a good thing for this team? Because is that even going to help them? They're looking very, you know, fucking.
They're 3-3 right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who does Jacksonville have next week?
They are going against the Texans in a home division game.
Yeah, I mean, that's a game they could still win or should win, I would assume.
I would
hope so. But, man, I would have never guessed that they would have let Dallas do that to their defense. Like, I've never seen Jalen Ramsey not know what to say. Like, he literally said, I don't know to everything. Like, they got him embarrassed.
Yeah.
Like, and after all the shit that you talk, like, you should be embarrassed. Like, you just got beat by a very mediocre Dallas Cowboys team.
Dude, this team was kicking straight field goals for like a long time. They rarely, like, they score. They had what? This is their second best offensive game. And the other one was against the Giants. Dude, they They're not a good offense, and they just destroyed them.
Yeah. That's absurd. I would assume that they come back and play better against Houston, but Houston can have a good defense too. I mean, good offense too, even though Deshaun Watson got – that offensive line was really bad last week for Deshaun. He got beat up bad. But so which gives, I guess, Jackson no hope, because they should have a good defense that would just rush the shit out of Deshaun Watson. So I don't know. It really comes up to this game. If they can beat Houston, I don't think they'll beat Philly, but that would put them 4-4 and then a week 9 bye. So, and then they got some, you know, easier matchups. They got Indy coming back, Pitt, and then they got Buffalo, and they go back. Then it's Indy again. So it's not like a terrible, you know, set of games to come back to afterwards. So, yeah, if I were them, I would want Leonard Fournette back.
Yeah.
Bortles can't do shit.
No, he really can't. And we've, you know, sometimes it falls on him and he does well. And then some 90% of the time it falls on him and he does very poorly. So we've seen that to be very true.
Yeah.
Would you be looking to trade for Fournette?
Yeah, so it's funny. Shrek asked me this last week.
Did he?
Yeah. Same exact thing. And I said, yeah, like I was looking at it, but then I didn't know. Like, and I actually had the room to do it. Like, it's my A-team league that you love to talk about so much.
I knew it would come up eventually.
But, dude, I have Melvin Gordon and Saquon Barkley, and it's a standard scoring league. Like, I'm running through shit just with those two. And then I have a bunch of, like, solid receivers. Like, I have Juju and Devontae Adams, and I've been playing, like, a mixture of Calvin Ridley, John Brown, and whoever in my flexes. But, like, I could technically play other people and just sit on Fournette. But if he comes back healthy, and for whatever reason, if I landed him and had those three, man, it'd be lights out. So what I said last week was, if you have the ability to give up people and sit on Fournette, because if he doesn't come back right away, I would, because if you can buy him at a lower price. But otherwise, like, if you can't and you're just hoping for some reaches at the end, it's not worth it at that point, because he's so injury prone. If he comes back, you never know, he might just go back down again. And if that's going to ruin your team, then it's not worth it. But if you have the ability to do so, you have some people that are on your bench that are performing and you're not playing them anyway, and you can, and if someone's hurting and they need to give up someone, flip them to them and get Leonard Fournette.
Yeah,
that's your ideal moment.
You certainly have to be in your best situation possible with your team, like an embarrassment of riches to get rid of like some bench guys that no one's going to like scoff at and say like, you're fucking me in this trade.
Right.
You know, you got to give up a lot to get someone like Leonard Fournette. So it's, yeah, I know a game you're playing, and it's interesting to me because that could be a league winning move. And I think that's one of the first ones I'm starting to like realize for people that are going to want to make the late push, especially if they're hurting at running back.
Yep.
But Don, you have anything weak shit, cool shit before we move on to like the weakest fucking game I think we've ever had to preview?
I have two other weak shit. Julio Jones is still not getting a touchdown, even with Mohamed Sanu and Calvin Ridley going down. It's just like ridiculous.
I know we say it every week, but I think he's going to score this week, man.
Dude. Listen, you're still getting your production out of him. I mean, the guy's putting up absurd amount of yards. He's getting the targets and the receptions, but
like, that dude is wide receiver 6, and we complain.
Yeah, I guess it's just annoying because like you're just seeing this guy just not get in the end zone after everything that he's putting up. It's just like kind of crazy.
Yeah, again, it still makes no fucking sense, and it's just
it's the craziest thing ever.
It's an absolute thing, and it makes no sense
at this point. Like, I own him, and I just hope he doesn't get in the end zone once now at this point. Just
fuck. No touchdown season?
Yeah.
And still wide receiver. Like, we probably creep up to
three. Wide receiver 5 at least. Crazy.
That's fine with me, man. You want to talk trade?
Yeah. What do you want to give me?
Nothing.
Melvin Gordon?
No. He scores touchdowns.
He does score touchdowns. Hey, you want a guy that doesn't score any touchdowns for a guy that scores a lot of touchdowns?
No,
let's talk. What you call it? Last one I have is Marquise Goodwin, and him getting like a few catches and going off. It's not really weak shit, but just temper your expectations. He went against a really bad Packers defense and just don't think he's going to do that next week.
Yeah, he's Robbie Anderson. It's the same exact player, same exact thing going on. Weird offense, bad offense, and then, you know, occasionally he'll catch two touchdowns that are like monstrous and week winning. But it's just I'm not going to play that game. I know Shrek has him. I wish ask him that on the previews. See what the fuck he's going to do with that guy.
Shrek, what the fuck are you going to do? Shrek's in a bad place right now in that league. He's I felt bad for him, and he lost with that. He had the hopes of George Kittle not doing enough, but just enough to push Shrek out. Yeah.
After Kittle fumbled, I was like, Shrek has a shot. And then, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I know Shrek's having a lot of troubles with his wide receivers, too, so maybe I'll talk shop to Shrek.
Don, if you text anybody else for a trade in our league, I will cut your throat.
Oh, come on.
Dude, no, you're done. You're capped out. You did your best trade of all time, and now you're
Shrek,
done.
I've got Mike Williams, man. I've only dropped him twice and picked him back up.
I almost added him just to talk shop. I probably should have done that.
Well, dude, what I did was I dropped him. I was trying to add Mohamed Sanu because I knew he was going to have a big week this week.
Chase picked him up.
Right, but I guess someone had dropped him or something because he wasn't available till Saturday.
Kyle dropped him. He's a fucking moron.
Yeah, Kyle's an idiot. So I tried adding him and kept saying it was full on my phone. I'm like, maybe it's a glitch, so I'll just drop Mike Williams because I don't care, and I'll pick up Sanu. And then I realized that. I'm like, oh, man, now Mike Williams is just sitting there. Everyone sees the transaction history of me dropping him again.
That was really
Saturday
cool.
Comes through. I don't get Sanu. Goes to Chase. So there I am. I'm like, let me just pick Mike Williams back up again.
No shame at all.
Yeah.
I watched that all too. It's good to know the process through the.
He's like my CJ Spiller. I'll just keep dropping and adding him.
Little contracts here and there, and then just cut him loose.
3 weeks later, we need a running back again. Come back over for a week, and we're going to cut you.
Bye. Practice squad it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much some cool shit, weak shit, very inane babble from me and Don. So I hope you guys got something out of that. Really didn't talk too much fantasy actually there, but
no, we just did whatever we wanted to.
Yeah, we love the game. So it's sometimes it's good to talk football instead of fantasy. So you realize what matters. But
we just did LTF. Let's talk football.
Yeah, now we're going to do the fantasy part sort of in the Thursday night preview for this game.
Yeah, this is a hot game.
Holy fuck. Denver Broncos are visiting the Arizona Cardinals for a poorly booked Thursday, or correctly booked. I don't feel like people really devote enough time and like loving the game to us as much as other Thursday night viewers do. But this is a bad game, Don. I guess we'll start with the Broncos, man. You're not playing Case Keenum. Let's talk about the running backs here. We got Royce Freeman, Devontae Booker, Philip Lindsay.
Yeah.
Lindsay's been, you know, very playable. But
Lindsay's got like a decent floor.
Yeah.
He hasn't had, out of all of them, for sure. He hasn't had like the upside that he had the first few weeks, but like he's still productively a very low running back two or flex. Like I've been playing him in a league where I don't have many running backs and, you know, he's been getting me what I need to get by.
Yeah, that's exactly what Philip Lindsay is right now. Booker sees way too much of the field and is cutting into, you know, Freeman time and Lindsay time. Freeman's seeing the most, but not doing enough with it. And then his are just like rushing opportunities, which the Broncos, man, if there's a game to do it, it would be against the Cardinals. But on Thursday night, I'm not rolling Freeman out here. I would just be upset with myself.
Yeah, he's going against Cardinals and then Kansas City next week. Like, these would be the 2 weeks you'd hope you get production out of Freeman.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to roll him out because there's just, like, here's a very low floor, too. So, and that you have been seeing more Devontae Booker as the weeks have gone by. So, I don't know. Royce Freeman's kind of like touch on the pendant as well. So I would just say the only starting running back that you could start is Philip Lindsay.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
Well, I think we'll have actually a pretty good game against a really bad Arizona defense.
Yeah, he should be able to do.
Not that many rush attempts, but he should make.
Yeah, because he's involved in the passing game too. He's the hybrid of the two guys here. But DT and Sanders, I think you're rolling both out. Sanders.
Definitely.
Yeah, he's just been good, great. He'll probably work the slot a lot. DT might see a lot of Peterson. Honestly, they might both see a lot of Peterson. I guess it depends who he shadows.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think they're both plays. DT's been catching touchdowns shitty and as late as they may come. DT is getting them. I'm not worried about Sanders. DT possibly a little worried, but it is what it is.
Yeah, you know what? Like at this point, like I'd like to say I'm worried about DT. I own DT in our league. Like the last 2 weeks, he's probably had the least amount of targets, and he's gotten in the end zone. But overall, he really hasn't had a bad target share. Case Keenum's still going to throw to him, so I'm totally. He's my third receiver, and I'm like cool with that. So I'd say, in a two receiver set, I guess more of a flex wide receiver three where you feel comfortable playing him.
Yeah, absolutely. There's really no one else on this team, so we will just move right along to the Cardinals, where there is not much else besides sadness. David Johnson, you're playing. You just have to. It's just like such a shame, dude, like that we have to talk about this every week. It really is, because
you just deserve more, David Johnson.
He really does. That poor fella. But you know, the other take Walsh had, where they're just like, they'll feed him when he gets inside the five, and you know, they really do. It'll happen.
No matter what, they're just going to feed him.
Yeah. I feel like this game he'll get a touchdown and he'll get you his normal new sad ceiling and floor of like 12, 15 points for David Johnson this year, which just sucks.
Yeah.
That's what it is. The pass catcher's done. Fitz has been god awful. God awful.
It's your time, sir.
Yeah. Not playing him. Borderline droppable.
Yeah.
I don't know. Would you drop him for any of the guys we talked about earlier?
That's a good question, man. I really haven't paid much attention to Fitzgerald at all.
I don't think he's had
I'm just looking. I'm just looking at his game. Targets, though. Like, he still has a good amount of targets.
I don't know.
I don't think I'm dropping him just yet. It sucks. But I would say, like, these next, because they go on bye week 9. Like, if these next 2 weeks, like, they don't, he still doesn't do anything, like, it's time then at that point. But I don't know. He's still getting a good amount of targets. Josh Rosen's been, what, in the last, like, 2.5 weeks? I'm cool with keeping him for the next few weeks. I wouldn't play him right away, but he's still getting a decent amount of targets, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I might be ripping the Band-Aid off now, so, you know, just kind of. The pain will set in.
Yeah, I just feel like that would be the, like, I feel like this would be the Band-Aid that you rip off, that he's actually going to have a better second half of the year.
Yeah, I guess if he gets healthier, but like, I don't know, just the ceiling in the offense is just not cutting it for me. And if one of these guys could help me win a week, especially with all the buys with this like shit going on, I'm not really emotionally attached to Larry Fitzgerald right now.
Yeah.
Christian Kirk is the other dude, emerging as one of Rosen's favorites, but still has a lot of work to do, and you know, his ceiling, I guess, is there, but the floor is nowhere to be seen. So he is also a sit for me.
Yeah, I'm not playing him.
You can't. And maybe later or whatever, if this offense changes a lot, maybe everyone will get fired after this game. Who knows? Which actually could be very interesting. Just Mike McCoy and Steve Wilks just get fired, because I think they will lose to the Broncos here. It'll be interesting.
It's a must win.
Yeah, it's for both, really. This is a huge game.
They play to win the game, man. I mean, whoever scores more points is the objective to win.
That is true. If you know, if you don't win, you definitely lose, and that's not good.
Yeah. No.
The other fantasy name, I guess, is Ricky Seals-Jones, which I think you can get away with playing.
I'm cool with Ricky Seals-Jones actually. If on a tight end reel where we have, you know, you have Jimmy Graham that's out this week. You got Jared Cook, if you've been rolling him in the hopes that he does stuff. You got the Vance McDonald, Jesse James out. So those are some guys that probably, if you've been even spinning or you have. So I'm cool with the RSJ this week. Yeah. Actually, I might pick him up in the leagues that I have Jimmy Graham. I have Jimmy Graham in two leagues, so I might just roll out RSJ.
Look at you, Don, making moves.
Making money moves.
Definitely. A good, well, not a good play, but a decent play. That's it for this game. That was an easy one. I guess we kind of even went maybe too in depth with it. But Don, who are you taking?
Taking RSJ with 3 TDs and a win over Denver.
Wow. I'm going to say he scores maybe once. And, the Broncos definitely win. I think
6 yards total with a one touchdown.
They're going to sack the shit out of Rosen. So I believe the Broncos win in a gross game, a very gross game.
They should, but Arizona, it's at Arizona. Arizona's got, man, that's a tough place to play, actually. It's a loud place in that dome that they have. They got to win, backs against the wall. RSJ, man, three TDs. Let's get it.
All right, I'll put some money on it for you, Don.
Thanks, man.
That's actually a good return. You know how much money I'd probably get?
I don't know. What's the what are you betting? How much money would you, I don't know. Trying to see. I don't even know how you bet that.
Odds for the one of the apps, a sports book or some shit. I don't know. That'd probably be a huge, yeah, I'm gonna look into that, Don. Thank you.
Can I go halvesies?
No, I'm definitely kidding. I'm not doing that shit. Come on.
I'm not kidding.
Man, that's it, Don. I'm done. We're wrapping this bitch up. What do you have to say to the people, Don, before we log off?
Green Bay, we don't deserve you, Aaron.
It's bad. Well said. Well said. Before we go, I will say I didn't say a goddamn word about the Bengals-Steelers game. I don't think I'm going to until I'm dead. That game sucks.
So Vinny's advice for the sixth week in a row or seventh week in a row is pick up Andy Dalton.
No, that's true. You should pick up Andy Dalton.
I think every time I listen to you guys cast, you're just like, you should pick up Andy Dalton this week.
Dude, it's been true. He's been fucking great. Maybe not putting up like explosive weeks, but he's definitely not killing you. He's around that 20-point range every week, which I probably should have said his name instead of Winston before.
I'll show you something explosive.
Pick up Andy Dalton. Put that on my tombstone. That is it for me and Don, you guys. Thanks for hanging around. I don't know if you did or not. Probably not, but we appreciate it, guys. Look for the Week 7 preview coming out, starring Don again, and the return of Shrek, which is always welcomed. So thank you guys for hanging out, and we will catch you on the next episode.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.